This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media projection production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The stories: YouTube jacks streaming TV prices. Charter wants to wiggle out of its merger conditions. BMW will sell you a car. Then they will sell you a subscription, and you're not going to believe what they're selling. Microsoft is shoving Edge down your throats. I want to welcome you to episode 1458 of the Geekness Central podcast for Thursday, July 2nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Hey, we want to welcome all the new listeners. Make sure you get over to geeknesscentral.com, get subscribed to the show, get subscribed to the newsletter when you're on the website. If you want to join our chat room, you can do so at geeknews.chat or on Discord. Our Discord link is available in the show notes. You can always, this is the most important part, you can always contact me via email here at the show, geeknews@gmail.com, or I'm on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, I'm here on Facebook, so go ahead and follow me on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great shows there. I do want to thank our sponsor. We've got the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy. You can find all those deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a $499.com, whether it be a 30% promo code, whether it be a dollar a month to manage WordPress hosting, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting, each of those, a dollar a month for the first year, and includes a free domain. It's the best deal in the podcasting space. And of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All these codes, all these savings, continuing to July. Those of you that supported the show in June, we definitely appreciate it. But definitely want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship of the show, and hope that you'll share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. It's midsummer. It's very, very hot. At least it is here in Michigan. Maybe it's too hot to be outside. So maybe it's time to pick up a project that you enjoy on a Sunday afternoon or something like that. Get a website, get it set up. Maybe open an e-commerce site, make something that will help you during the next national lockdown, which I think is coming. And GoDaddy can help you get started with a business plan, business website. All that's available. And all my promo codes can save you a lot of money, including that 30% off code. That's a really, really good one for a variety of products and services over at GoDaddy. Again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. I want you to take a moment to go over to the website at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, everyone, how you doing? Doing well? I'm doing okay. Had a couple of little low-grade headache this afternoon. So it's just like, I think what it is I had a incredibly complex contract to go through. The contract terms alone were 52 pages. My legal officer basically told me that after we got done going through this, it'd probably be easier to get a contract for an aircraft carrier than what this was. So I've spent probably 10 hours this week going through and getting this proposal together. It's due tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I shipped it off here about an hour and a half ago, and I proceeded to face plant on my couch for about 30 minutes because I'd probably worked on it for about 5 hours today, and got it done, got it out. And here's the thing: if you work for a big company and you have lots of processes, it does not help you to get the best price when you have all these processes in place. It actually can cost you money, because I had to add significant overhead to this deal because of the right for them to inspect and their right to audit and their right to this and want this protocols. And I redlined lines and lines and lines of their contract, stuff that we couldn't agree with. I mean, It's insane. It really, really was. It's a big deal contract. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to get the business. But, and the people that put forth that probably had no idea it was going to, you know, and I know there was at least two other companies bidding, and if they didn't have a lawyer on team, they probably spent $2,000-$3,000 on lawyer costs alone just to have the everything read and redlined and back and forth. But anyway, so yeah, so I feel that pressure off because the bid's out, and then Monday I've got a demo with their team, so I'm sure we'll see what happens. But anyway, yesterday had a great interview. Had Adam Curry on the New Media Show. If you're a podcasting fan whatsoever, make sure that you check that interview out. Hey, Sean. Hey, Toby. Thanks for saying hi on Facebook tonight. We definitely appreciate it. So it was a great interview. I had an hour and a half with Adam, and it was entertaining and a little bit explicit at times. So just forewarning there. So anyway, what are we going to do? This weekend, some weekend projects. My sister and her kids and husband all get back from their vacation. They've been down in Tampa. Yes, right in the middle of the epicenter of everything going on. They were in Georgia. They're on their way back. So I'm probably going to, how should we say it, extreme social distance from that whole group for the next 4 or 5 days to make sure they didn't bring anything back. I just can't afford to be sick at this point. It's just things are too much stuff going on. So anyway, that's what's happening here. Got a lot of content to get into tonight. Some real interesting articles out there. And glad you're here. And I hope everyone's getting ready to kick off the 4th of July weekend. Cooking burgers and whatever else. I'm hankering for some sweet corn. But the sweet corn's not ready yet. I think you can probably buy it in the grocery store, but I'm talking about true, fresh sweet corn. I'm hankering for it bad, but going to have to wait, I guess. So I got an email yesterday from YouTube. And my YouTube TV has been pretty good. And it's what I've used here for the past 3, 4, 5, 6 months. But they just... I'm this close from pulling the plug on it because they jacked the price 30% from $49 to $65. And, or maybe it was 51 and or 50 and it went to 65. But anyway, it's now going to be $65 a month. And what really pisses me off is, okay, so if I start doing the math, $65 for YouTube, how much for Netflix? So that's, you know, that's another $10, $12, right? Maybe 14. So I'm up to 80. So if we add Amazon Prime, which if you amortize that out, that's another $10 a month. You get lots of benefits, but you get Amazon Prime too. So now we're up to 90. And then if we add on Disney Plus, so that's another $6, $96. And you think about it, and my son was asking me the other day, he says, we have a Hulu account? I says, no, your sister's paying for the Hulu account. So I don't have a Hulu account. Don't think I've ever watched anything on Hulu. But then I remembered we've got HBO, so we're right back up there to like $110. $110 for the same stuff that we were paying the cable companies for. And I looked at what they added, and it really was not anything that I was that interested in. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm taking account the two or three channels I do watch on YouTube TV, and I'm saying, can I get those directly from them and get rid of the $65 boat anchor now? And I think I can, and it may cost me $15 to get the things I want and get rid of this $50 boat anchor. So here's the deal. You know, this sector is once again, now that it's digital, is probably going to be pushing people to do piracy again. They just want so much money for this stuff. So when you're talking about AT&T, Time Warner, HBO, Comcast, NBC, Universal, Now they're doing the same thing to TV provider, to streaming TV providers. And what are they really truly bringing us? It's really not that much good stuff. So at least I can cancel, put it on hold at any time. But you know, it's something we have to watch out for now, again, because all these streaming services start to add up. And I think I've got the best Netflix one, so we can have three people on the count. So I can be on it, my son can be on it, and Shoko can be on it. I think it's probably, you know, it's just stupid. So do we need to start cutting the network cord now versus the cable cord? So again, these same broadcasters are jacking up prices on traditional cable TV providers, and now they're putting it against the streaming folks. This is not a sustainable model. This doesn't, if you piss me off after I cut the cord from the cable provider, then now my bill's back up. I don't mind paying for content. Don't get me wrong. But I don't like being ripped off. Let me pay. I'd get rid of all the sports channels. Get rid of, I don't need that stuff, but it's so baked in. Of course, there's been no sports, so we've all been getting ripped off on that anyway, even if you watch sports. Now, to top this off, another story. Let's think back here. When Charter did its $79 billion acquisition of Time Warner and Bright House Networks. If we think back, former FCC boss Time Wheeler brought in net neutrality advocate Marvin Amore, and he hammered out the conditions of the deal, which ended up being pretty meaningful. Now, under the deal, Charter was banned from imposing usage caps, engaging in interconnection shenanigans with content providers like Netflix, or violating net neutrality, even if those rules themselves were killed for a period of 7 years. Charter was also required to expand broadband to 2 million additional locations. Now, that wasn't too long ago. That was 2016. And we know the FCC basically folded like a wet cardboard under pressure from telecom lobbyists, and not only killing meaningful net neutrality rules, but getting its authority over telecom, gutting its authority over telecom, creating massive gaps in basic consumer protections. So now Charter is trying to get some of this stuff undone. They want some of these things like bandwidth caps and all this to be taken away. They want these conditions. So they're lobbying for these restrictions to be eased, even though they will expire in 2023. Charter finds itself in a position where it has to adhere to standards its competitors don't. The problem is that none of these underlying justifications for those conditions have changed. In fact, they've gotten worse, as Charter has secured a bigger monopoly over broadband, as its telco competitors flee the fixed-line residential broadband market in many areas. Now, ideally, we'd fix this problem with pro-competition policies instead of merger conditions or net neutrality rules. But even in the area that I'm in, there's two providers. And sadly, the Muni broadband that I so much loved has gotten so expensive that because the big boy came in and took all the business away, and now they're kind of stuck. Where I live out in the country, you know, it is horrific. It has cut down my computer usage in the evenings by 90%. When you can stream a Netflix video, when you can't net stream a Netflix video and answer email at the same time, that's pretty bad. Or try to do something with uploading or anything. It's horrible. It's horrific. And I pay $90 for the privilege of having that connection that now from time to time is dropping. I'm losing it. And it's horrific. So what do we do about all this? Well, there's probably not a lot we can do because Spectrum's going to be, you know, lobbying and paying big money to drop stuff down our throats. Now, there's an article that popped up on my radar today, and it's about the House of Representatives, have okayed a $100 billion broadband plan with $50 monthly discounts for poor people. And it's not a plan guaranteed to pass in the Senate, but the broadband portion is modeled on their universal fiber plan. The plan includes $80 billion in fiscal year 2021 money that the FCC would use to fund high-speed broadband projects. But we've seen how these projects have worked in the past. They spent countless of billions of dollars already trying to get high-speed broadband into unserved and underserved areas. Now, if this passes, funded projects would have to provide 100 megabit download and upload speeds along with low latency conditions that would spur fiber to the home development. And here's one thing that's in it that I'm absolutely, unequivocally, and this is so dumb. We are, as a country, really dumb. Because how many roads are getting pulled up, new pavement put down, new concrete bitten put down, rebuilding roads? How small a minute part of that construction would be if they would drop conduit and run fiber through that? If we had a dig once requirement that said fiber or fiber conduit must be installed as part of any covered highway construction project in any state that receives federal highway funding, we would fix this problem, at least on the major thoroughfares, over the next 25, 30 years. We would have fiber everywhere. Because roads are being torn up, being repaved, this should be a requirement. It also should be a requirement when they're resurfacing. It really should. This fiber conduit and fiber should be installed. The state can auction that off. States, counties, they can retain possession of it. They can rent it. This over time, I think about the road that I'm living on now. It was originally a dirt road. And sometime between the time I was gone and the time I come back, they paved it. It ends a half mile from my house and goes back to dirt, but I can drive all the way from the studio here to the compound on pavement. So when they paved that road and had all that work done, why couldn't they have just dropped in fiber? Yeah, it's only a mile and a half. But that's the key here. We'd have fiber in places where fiber doesn't exist. And as we repair roads, drop in more fiber. To me, it boggles my mind why we have been so stupid to not have done that. That cost would be so, I mean, pennies on the foot probably to put in. I just don't understand why we've never done that. We've talked about this on the show before. And, you know, we can go to our states and we can start talking to our state legislatures about this. Say, listen, if you're in county, if you are going to repair a road, if you're going to tear this thing up for 3, 4, 5 miles, you have the right of way already. There's already sewer in the ground oftentimes. There's power lines. There's telephone lines. You have the right of way already to drop in fiber. There's gas lines. Come on now. We need to be pushing for this as tech heads out there, because we've realized already broadband is the way. It's going to be the way for a while. I've already told my team, don't, we're not planning to bring anybody back to the office until Christmas or after Christmas, after the new year. Well, actually, we will reconsider what's going on after the new year. If you want to work from the office, it's fine. We've got policy set in place, but they're all working from home. I think this is going to be the case for a long time. Now, switching gears here for the show and completely different topic. Hey, Brad, how you doing? Thanks for being on. Listen to this. And I think this is a major eyebrows. So BMW, I'll probably never be able to afford a BMW. But going to the BMW dealer and buy yourself a nice car, right? Get yourself some of that great engineering, quote unquote. And of course, very high repair costs. So you buy the car and on the way out the door, they say, oh, by the way, hey, you didn't get heated seats with this vehicle. You did not select adaptive cruise as an option. How about we'll give you that, but it's going to cost you $49.95 a month or $19.95 a month. So they're thinking about selling BMWs, the models that are quote unquote, first of all, here's a rule of thumb. I think we're all adults here. If you can't afford a loaded BMW, don't buy a BMW. Because all you're really paying for is the logo. If you buy a lower end luxury vehicle, you're getting a lower end luxury vehicle. You might as well take that same money and buy a higher end Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Tesla, instead of taking that amount of money that you could barely get into that luxury car market and you're buying the emblem. So, but if you do go in there and buy a $36,000 BMW instead of $56,000 BMW or $76,000 BMW or $96,000 BMW, you can. And soon at BMW, you can opt in for subscription to warm your seats, have the adaptive cruise turn on for you. It's just another way for them to keep paying and keep paying and keep paying and keep paying and keep paying. So my advice to you is save your money, buy in big when you can buy in if that's your goal, but don't buy a low-end luxury vehicle. Take that same money and buy in high-end on a Ford. All right, Microsoft. Whoa, man, people are upset. How many of you Windows users out there saw this? Apparently, they shoved Edge down your throat. And I believe this undermines Microsoft's own argument that automatic updates are critical. So people are upset. So how the story goes, imagine you wake up and your entire computer screen just got taken over by a new app, which you never installed, you didn't ask for. It just magically appeared on your desktop in the morning in your taskbar and preempted your browser launch. Now, if that happened, you'd probably run a virus scanner, malware, but no. Microsoft's new Chromium Edge browser, which the company is now force-feeding users via an automatic update to Windows. So when you restart Windows 10, Chromium immediately launches itself. It tries to convince you to migrate from Chrome or Firefox or any other browser you're using and does not give you any way to say no. Then it pins itself to your desktop and your taskbar. It ignored your previous browser preferences. And of course, the next time you launch a website, whether I was sure I wanted to use Chrome instead of Microsoft's oh-so-humble recommendation, it pushed itself upon you. And oh, you can't uninstall Edge anymore. So lots of interesting tweets here. Wakes up and discovers they not only decide to install Edge on my computer with my consent, but also pinned it to my taskbar. No, no. Another tweet. We care about your privacy, Microsoft Edge says, as it quietly installs on my computer, opens up in the morning, and once more reminds me that Windows 7 sucks and please update to the other operating system. If Windows 7 isn't supported, then why did my work machine automatically install Microsoft Edge last night? Food for thought. Not supposed to be doing updates to Windows 7. My PC just forced shutdown to install Microsoft Edge, losing at least an hour of drawing. Thank you, Microsoft. No one is going to use your beep excuse of a browser, no matter how much you force it. Another tweet. Windows apparently did an update in the middle of the night, and now my beep document with the notes for beep are all gone. It's all good, though. I got Microsoft Edge out of the deal, so you know that's good and something I asked for. We'll have it up soon. So this is a guy that did a podcast. So anyway, if you're a Windows user, sorry. Hey, Stephanie. Sorry about the, you have to take that up with Microsoft. Not that Apple's doing crazy stuff, but, you know. So this article, next article, I go, just a little bit, and I'll say why. The title of this sounds to me like a little bit of a bait. Humans left behind a record number of e-waste in 2019. Electronic waste grew 21% in 5 years. 2019 set a record for the amount of e-waste ever generated worldwide to 53.6 million metric tons of discarded phones, computers, appliances, and other gadgets. That's more than the combined weight of all the adults in Europe. It's also a 21% increase since 2014. Dun, da, da, da. Here's the kicker. Paragraph 2. Just 17% of that waste was officially recycled. Okay, so if you said 53.6 million metric tons of discarded phones, computers, appliances, and other gadgets were discarded, how do you know it was 53.6 million metric tons when you come up with a 17%? The vast majority of it was either sent to a landfill, incinerated, vanished somewhere into the bureaucratic ether when officials lost track of it. How do they know it was 53.6 million metric tons when only 17% of that 53.6 million, quote unquote, was officially recycled? How do they know it was 53.6? I think we all can understand there's a lot of stuff being thrown away that shouldn't. Lithium ion batteries, don't throw them in the trash. Please, please. Computers, computer monitors, TVs. Don't throw this stuff in the trash. Please, please take care of it. Recycle it. Old phones, all this stuff with batteries in it. This stuff's going to go into landfills. It's never going to be good for people in the future. And plus, there's lots of recoverable metals and stuff in these devices. But how did they know that 70% of that 53.6, rough math here. And if they say 8 pounds or so was, or 8 million pounds was recycled. I don't know how they came up to 53.6 million metric tons or whatever it was. What say you? Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Okay, so, wow. Tesla. Man, oh man. Tesla stock leaps again. Unexpected strong delivery numbers. Most other car makers have suffered double-digit year-over-year losses. So they had better than expected delivery numbers. Electric car maker delivered 90,650 vehicles in the second quarter of 2020. How did they do that? Factories were closed, right? Slightly up from the 88,400 vehicles delivered in the first quarter. This despite the fact that Tesla's main factory in Fremont was shut down for the first half of the quarter. Tesla stock leaped after the news. Check this out. Tesla shares rose above the $1,200 level. Don't you wish? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Model S and Model X sales continued to slump, though. So that probably is not surprising based upon the wide variety of electric vehicles they've got out there. So good job on for Tesla. All right, if you're signing up for Verizon Fios, I didn't even know that still existed. Well, they've added Hulu as an offer for new customers, in addition to its Disney Plus offer. So you'll get Hulu and Disney Plus when you sign up for its more expensive plan. And what is their more expensive plan consist of? Oh, $59.99 for the 400 megahertz plan, or $79.99 a month for their gig. So man, what I wouldn't give for the gig. I really would love gig here. T-Mobile has shut down Sprint's 5G network as the two carriers continue to integrate. The Sprint's 2.5 gigahertz spectrum will be repurposed for T-Mobile's 5G network, and some of it already has been. So here's the cities. If you've got some older devices, you may have some challenges. Sprint's networks in Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles have already been reactivated as T-Mobile spectrum. Still to be redeployed are Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth, Kansas City, Phoenix, Washington, D.C., which previously had Sprint 5G networks. So if you've got a OnePlus 7, a Pro 5G, Galaxy S10, 5G, and LG V50, you may be having a little bit of connection issues on those networks with some of the spectrum being off and being transitioned. Boston is the latest city to ban facial recognition use by government agencies. So we know San Francisco led the way, then the entire state of California, a few smaller cities on the East Coast. So now Boston has basically banned facial recognition by government agencies. On July 28th, Virgin Galactic will live stream its Spaceship to cabin reveal. So this cabin is designed to give space tourists the best view of Earth possible. So we'll get to see that here at the end of the month. Now, and I've seen some of these on Facebook already, Facebook and Instagram will remind people to wear face masks. Soon you'll see a message at the top of the feed in both of the apps. And I have seen these already reminding me to wear my face mask. So a link will be up in the show notes on that. Apple has launched a new web portal for the Apple Card. Pay your bill and view your statement online. So, it's kind of Apple-ish. It looks kind of pretty, as you would expect. So that's available and up online. Walmart is turning some of its parking lots into drive-in theaters. Maybe this unconventional use of space will keep Walmart's business up. Of course, Walmarts have been closing here, at least in my town, by, I think, 9 o'clock. They're closed. They're not running 24 hours, and this will run from August through October at 160 locations across the country, and they're going to have some feature movies, and it's called walmartdrive-in.com, so we'll see what they do there, so it should be interesting. People will be able to stay in their cars in the big Walmart parking lots and potentially watch a movie. Amazon Windows 10 Prime Video app brings offline viewing to PCs. So Windows users have been waiting for this for a while. So this is kind of cool. It's been a long wait. But now you can download Amazon Prime Video to their computer. The settings menu includes three download quality presets, good, better, and best. With the highest quality setting, 1 hour of video takes up approximately 2.4 gigs of internal storage. You'll also need that same amount of data if you plan to download a video over a cellular connection, all right? So be aware that's available for you, for your Windows 10 users, all right? Moving on next, the 45 best TV shows to watch on Netflix. So if you're on the hunt for your next big binge, the number one is a series called The End of the Beeping World. So that's interesting. Should be an interesting. It's a British humor series. And it's about someone's plan to kill somebody, I guess. So it's not necessarily a one of those series that is truly at the end of the world. Mindhunter, The OA, Sex Education, The Haunting of Hill House, Dark, Black Mirror, Glow. A lot of these look like, of course, The Crown is back, Russian Doll. I don't like these dark movies. I've never been a dark movie watcher. You know, some of these are really, really like almost depressing. I don't think we need that at this point. I think we need comedy. Hey, Lego has launched posters you can build, including Darth Vader, Iron Man, Marilyn Monroe. So this is a new line of build-your-own portraits that includes a canvas and bead size pizzas. Can you believe I can't say that? Pieces. Oh my gosh, hilarious. But anyway, some of these look pretty cool. Have fun with them. Anyone out there, the big Lego fan, any total Lego maniacs that listen to this show? Facebook is launching its July 4th voter registration drive ahead of the United States elections. The social network aims to register 4 million voters. So lots of crazy stuff going on with election voting. And they sent everyone in the state of Michigan an absentee ballot application. I got some here at the office, which is kind of crazy. This office, people, no clue, probably prior employees that worked here that used this as their address. So I shredded them. But why would I get absentee ballots at an office? I got one at my house, like I was expecting, but it was a little bit weird to get some here at the office. Google and Apple complied with the India ban on Chinese apps. Now, this is getting serious. The Indian government announced a ban of 59 Chinese apps just 3 days ago, including TikTok. They basically have said these apps by Chinese firms are not allowed to be in the India Apple and Google App Store. So this is the latest back and forth in a series of barbs the two countries have traded over the course of the last 2 months. Back in May, Indian and Chinese soldiers, I guess maybe you probably never heard about this, clashed in a skirmish at the Pongyang Shoal, a lake located in the Himalayas that sits along the line of controls between the two countries. The ensuing tussle led to over 100 soldiers being injured on both sides, with China claiming 23 square miles of Indian patrolled territory in the line of actual control. Now, the line of actual control is a 2,175-mile stretch that sits between territories. The conflict in the last 2 months was due to the fact that Chinese soldiers have encroached on this LAC, leading to several skirmishes. Things escalated on June 15th when both sides faced off for 6 hours using improvised weapons like barbed wire clubs. Yes, use improvised weapons like barbed wire clubs. The skirmish led to 20 Indian fatalities, the first time the country faced casualties along the border in over 45 years. So TikTok, ShareIt, Weibo, UC Browser, and more apps have, with hundreds of millions of users in the country, have been banned. So this is an interesting move here. Who are you punishing, the people or China? Uber works with hashtag What's My Name to ensure riders get in the right car. And this is an effort after Samantha Josephson was killed by someone impersonating a ride-hail driver. both Uber and Lyft partners with her parents to raise awareness around safety. It's been more than a year since she unknowingly got into the wrong vehicle on a Friday night in Columbia, South Carolina. 14 hours later, the 20-year-old was found dead in a wooded area about 90 miles away. And so they basically started a foundation called What's My Name that's geared toward raising awareness about passenger safety and pushing companies and lawmakers to create policies that make rides more secure. Part of the goal is to get people to ask, what's my name, before getting into a car. You know, I haven't rode Uber or Lyft in a while, but I've always been greeted by my name before I get in the car. Window roll down, say, Todd. Yep. I don't think I've gotten in a car where someone hasn't asked. I think about it here for a second. Have I got in and they asked? Maybe a few times. But most of the times they ask my name before I get in the car. I think this is a good policy that they should basically address you as you're approaching the vehicle. So for the ladies out there, that's what you should say before you get into any, and guys too, you should say this, what's my name, before you get into their vehicle. And what happened to her is horrifically tragic. And so anyway, I'm glad that they're doing this. And this is just makes a lot of sense. It really, really does. All right, best smartwatches of 2020. Form, fit, function, and price are top 5 rated smartwatches for every wrist and every budget. And this is an article by CNET. The Apple Watch Series 5 is number 1. Apple Watch Series 3 is number 2. The Fitbit Versa is number 3. The Samsung Galaxy Watch Active 2 is number 4. And the Amazfit Blip S is number 5. And, of course, $399 down to $70. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check these out. So if those of you that are Apple users, what's new in Safari 14? Well, Apple user will get an updated Safari browser coming soon. Will be web extension support, Touch ID for password authentication, and a variety of customizations. Some of those we've already talked about during the show. And but, you know, I think the only time I use Safari is on my iPad. Definitely don't use it on my MacBook or my iMac or anything. Samsung is selling a wireless charger that also sterilizes your phone. It's basically one of those cases that does the UV deal. You stick your phone in there, it wirelessly charges it while it's also exposing your phone to UV lights. And that kills up to 99% of bacteria within 10 minutes. It's called the IT Fit UV Sterilizer. It's a very unremarkable white box that Samsung says is spacious enough to fit a Galaxy S20 Ultra. However, it's not limited to just Samsung smartphones or wireless gadgets like the Galaxy Buds. There's a lot of stuff that will fit into this, and it's got an embedded 10-watt QI charger that will deliver power while it's doing its thing. I know those are almost sold out almost everywhere, so I know people have been trying to buy these en masse, and keep your eye out. They work pretty good, it's my understanding. So but I wipe my phone down, try to wipe it down every day. But, you know, we all get lax. Of course, we talked about Amazon Prime Day in the last show, but now they're thinking October. So we'll keep an eye on this and see where it goes. Also, the Pixel 3, 3A, and XL from Google are now discontinued. And, of course, we are expecting the launch of the Pixel 4A. And so that probably is going to be announced soon. But anyway, the Pixel 3A, 3A XL are now discontinued. So if you're wanting one of those, you waited too long. You have to pick one up on eBay. Actually, you know, what I did here too is there's a device in my system. And I guess I can talk about it. It's a little live stream, box from live stream. I had two of those. And one of them quit working some time ago. These boxes are probably about 10 years old at least. And I had another one that has been having trouble remaining synced. And I really like using that box to push to live stream because it has some other options as well. And the so I went on eBay, and this box normally brand, you can't buy it no more. It's been discontinued. Brand new is about $1,000. So that's what it cost like 5 years ago. And I found a really good deal. And there was only one listed on eBay. And I picked it up. And you always kind of worry about these boxes and stuff you buy on eBay. But when I got it, it was in perfect condition. Some of the original wrapping. I mean, this thing looked fantastic. And I was using it tonight before I killed the live stream. So I'm really, really pleased. So probably I've got another 4 or 5 years of use out of one of these boxes. And that should be, you know, who knows what's going to happen with live stream over the next 4 or 5 years. But at least now I can still not have a box that's causing me fits, and being able to get started streaming in the evenings and stuff will help me keep online. All right. So we're in at the end of the show, and I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me. I hope you had a good time. Be safe over the 4th. For those of you outside the United States, have a safe work day tomorrow. And of course, we'll be back with you on Monday. So I am still trying to have some sort of vacation. And so there is some potential that I might be able to go to a cabin and hang out for a week. But it's in northern Michigan, and there's really almost no cell signal. So I want to do at least a week somewhere to decompress. So I'm still thinking about that. And maybe the week of July 13th or something. It looks like Hawaii is going to open back up around the 1st of August. So if that happens, then I can slip home for a little while in August, for a week in August, and then maybe get a little head start on a little relaxation sometime in the next couple of weeks. Again, we'll see what happens, and whether or not I'm going to be able to make that work or not. But that's it. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. You take care. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Take care of your elders. And if you're younger, please be careful out there and understand that you may not know that you've caught COVID and you could be a spreader. So just be safe in what you're doing. And that's it. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.